Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Lem Sisso is an incredible poet, like a really exceptional wordsmith. He wrote a brilliant book called My Name Is Why that was an examination of his early life and childhood, where he was adopted. He was taken from his mother. He was adopted. And they lied to him, really, for decades. They kind of hid him from his own family. It was a really dark, twisty tale and really traumatic for him. He's come through it as a person with the most, you know, it's that thing I always say, the more trauma you survive, the more superpowers you have. And he is a person imbued with many, many superpowers.
It's like he's been waiting to come in the family on the sidelines for a while. I'm like, come in, please, bring you and your lovely words.
I mean, his words, some of the poetry. This book that he's written is called Morning Poems. Stay right there, I'm going to get it. Let the light pour in, Morning Poems. I'm going to read one. I've just opened it randomly. So I opened them, the curtains and page, light flooded in and out the rage. I mean, come on! What? A person who can use so few words to have such deep, big impact is pretty extraordinary. He's a magical human being.
It's going to be a special one with someone like Lem, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm really looking forward to meeting Sabrina, because she just seems to be quite an exceptional woman who is her own force of nature. You know, she seems like she's kind of carved a path through the kind of world of hairstyling in a way that she's taken it into an art form. She's one of those kind of people, you know.
Yeah, and has created her own business. I literally, in my notes, I wrote Sabrina underneath hair, full stop. I just want to talk hair. I mean, and I you aren't allowed to huff and puff. She's already doing it, rolling her eyes. My mum will not talk about my hair with me.
That's not true. We're talking about your hair for 39 years.
No,
I'm just tired.
No, I stopped talking to you about 4 years ago.
It's not true.
Yeah, you cut me. I really wanted to do a Bush tea. You know, the last series was all throughout the summer, and now it's a really different season, and I love teas. I love hot teas. And I love doing different combinations. And today we're doing bay leaves, rosemary, thyme, lemongrass, and grated palm sugar, which is a bit like fudge. And I just want something that feels really healing. I also wanted to put something in that's good for the mind. That's why there's loads of rosemary in it. Just like you said, I feel like great minds are coming to our table.
This is some coconut rice. This is
barbecue. Whoa, that's deli rice.
This is, Makita calls it deli rice because he fluffs it, steams it out, fluffs it.
Wait a minute, who does that?
Deli. Randell.
So deli rice is this. Deli rice is usually jasmine, but you can do whatever rice and then just butter. And then fluff it. And thyme.
Fresh
and
thyme. When you've cooked it, just leave the lid on and then at the end you fluff it up with a fork.
Ah,
yes.
I didn't even know that. Thanks for asking.
Yes. And why do you leave it? Is that so the lid is on so the steam goes through the rice?
Yes, it steams right up into the pot, you see.
Wow.
So we have got deli rice, which is a coconut light with a little bit of fresh thyme. We've got barbecued aubergine that we dress with chestnut honey and a little bit of shoyu. And then it's got avocado and green seasoning, like an aji verde, little like Peruvian vibes on the top, a bit of lime. Beautiful. And some spring onions. This is roast pumpkin and spiced roast pumpkin and spinach with fresh coriander. And this is, well, I keep saying we're making chicken curry. And he goes, curry chicken. It's curry chicken. So we've got curry chicken as well. And then I've made like a little pickled grapes and red onion scenario.
This is sensational.
Just to cut through some of the richness.
Right?
So we're having a party.
Please help yourselves. Right? Help yourselves. Please, Sabrina, go.
Yeah.
Go
okay,
in,
you don't,
go
you don't
in.
Need to ask me to.
Go in. Lem, welcome to our house. Welcome to our home. I'm so glad you could make it. Who have you brought with you as a guest?
Andy, I have brought with me Sabrina. Sabrina Kidd is your full name. And so really, it means a lot to be able to introduce Sabrina to you and you to Sabrina.
Well, you're very welcome.
Yes, absolutely.
Welcome. I mean, especially with that face. Look at that face. No, she walks around with this face all the time, doesn't she?
She walks around with the face, but look at the teeth.
I'm sorry, right?
Those
even.
Are some crazy... She has got some American teeth thing going on. Sometimes I just follow the teeth. Because when you walk down Hackney, people just stop.
It's the light. They're blinded by the teeth.
Follow the light.
I'm remembering Cheltenham Literature Festival.
Yeah.
When was that?
Oh, that was 2019.
And I interviewed you for Sky Arts.
Had my book just come out?
Your book had just come out. Yes. My Name Is Why it just came out.
I say my book.
One of your books.
I don't like to talk about my books, but while we're on it. I wonder which of the many
we very made it successful. But
now, come on.
If we're going to talk in the week that your book of poetry, your incredible new piece of work, has gone in number 6 Sunday Times bestseller,
let the light pour in.
I feel flushed with light. It's just an exciting time, and it is number 6
in the
bestselling.
Come on now, and it's a book of poetry, right?
Which doesn't happen.
I mean.
In fiction, you know, it's
so here, here's to doing things that have never been done.
Here's to letting the light pour all the way in. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Congratulations. And that moment you walked up onto the stage, you and I looked at each other and we were both humming with energy.
And
it felt like a really big full circle moment to me.
It was like
these two people who've been working away steadily for years at the things that they love, the things that they do. And for some reason, like, we kind of coalesced.
It was lovely.
And we were both coming through, breaking through the cloud at the same time.
Yeah. It was, well, I mean, I was being interviewed by you, you know, and I thought, what a beautiful thing. My book did really well, My Name Is Why. But to be, for you to be the person there, I thought, I'm at home here, you know.
Yeah.
And you are, you know, and I felt honoured to be on your show.
It was beautiful.
But I felt like this is how it works when you do the work. When nobody's looking, you do the work.
Wow. Nobody's looking and you do the work.
And you can tell, and you can see it in people when they, you know.
Totally. That's so interesting that you said that. That's what I did at the beginning of this year. I wrote down, what work will you do when only you are looking? Mm. And it's really changed my shit up, Lem. I was like, ooh. Because it's like, only my eyes are on this.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for what I want to do?
Yeah.
And it's quite an intense conversation with yourself.
That's an important one, though, if you're going to get through, right? If you're
going to
get through, because that sustains you, man.
Mm.
That
also, the question is, why do you do the work? What are you doing it for? Are you doing it for other people to see it? Obviously, we all want to connect.
Yeah.
When you're a creative person, you're making, you know, there's artistic output, you want to connect, but I think there also has to be some kind of connection to yourself that you need to express. You need to get it out, right? In whatever shape or form it takes.
Because you've done a lot of... so excited to talk to you about hair, Sabrina.
Oh, my God, Sabrina.
Someone is round the table that really want to talk about this. Or maybe you don't want to talk about it. Maybe you're sick of it. Because I like that actually Lem, in the piece of writing you wrote about who Sabrina was and the things she's done, you said that you actually quite like being called a hairdresser.
That's exactly what I do. But, I mean, some people describe me as like a hair artiste. You always say this.
Stylist.
You mentioned earlier, Andy, about doing something and why are you doing it? And so sometimes I get a little bit comparative or I'm like, oh, I should be doing this, or should I do more editorial, or should I do all these things? And then I have to remember, because I pay attention to how I physically respond or energetically engage with other people. So it's, I like the exchange, and I like that with my job, I'm lucky enough to make people feel good and vice versa. So it's a really good exchange. And for me, that's extremely important.
Yeah.
As well, as doing the work of hair.
Of hair, yeah. Exactly. Well, I think what does feel different when people are feeling what you do. Interesting you were talking about Cheltenham, because that was a real beginning for us. And I imagine maybe for you as well in a new chapter. Felt very on the cusp of something. And it has been the most extraordinary 3.5 years of our lives. And I think we felt it. I don't think we knew we were going to make work that was going to make people feel so much.
Really, or that things would move in the way that they don't. So, you know, because it's every step is more towards autonomy and empowerment so that you can make the choices for yourself, so that other people aren't deciding for you. Do you know what I mean? And I think one of the things that happens when you're doing the work and no one's looking, you are very free. And then suddenly you get a certain amount, a level of success, and other people start trying to tell you how to do the work. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
No. I saw somebody, there was an actress the other day, she was going, I'm not scared of being poor. I've been poor for years. I don't give a shit. She was like, I'm going to do what I want to do, whether you want me to do it or not. And, you know, if you're here for it, then we'll do it together. And if you're not, I'm going to keep doing it anyway.
Yeah. Have you ever done some, you do a job and you're like, this is what I do. And for me, it could be going on stage at a theatre or whatever. And there's somebody who's sort of like, well, they've rocked up there and they're going to tell you how you do what you do. Before I go on stage and somebody will say to me, are you nervous? And I always think, when you say that, it's you that's nervous.
Right,
it's not me. This is what I do, man. Mm-hmm. I've got to that place where I'm like, I'm at home here. Mm-hmm. If I do a bad job, it's me that knows that I've done a bad job. Above all things, nobody can tell me otherwise. I know that I've got to do more work on myself, on this particular part of my actions on stage or in my poetry. It's a thing of beauty to get to that point. I don't think there's anybody in the broadcast industry that is a mother and daughter, as you two are, that has been through the journey that you two have and that has arrived at the same tangential with each other a professional level and is putting that out as well at the same time. It is quite an extraordinary thing to see. There's nobody else is doing it. Nobody. Nobody in this industry.
No, but
it is, and you know I can see that, don't you?
Yeah,
you
know I can see everything.
It is extraordinary. The journey you've been through, Makita, and the journey you've been through are different journeys. Mm. But you're so... I watch your documentaries as well. You're so linked. You're so aware of each other's presence.
Yes.
And that unspokenness actually translates to all of us.
I just think it's incredible. Thank you so much. We get real freedom from working with each other, and our relationship is really key. One of the reasons we do this podcast in this way and get somebody to bring somebody with them is because of the way we are together, how other people interact and how that changes their world, like how friendships or relationships change the direction of your life, the direction of your work, the direction of your moment. You know, it's endlessly fascinating to us. You know, we're quite nosy as well, obviously.
Yeah, it's quite nosy.
And we just want to know what's happening in your life.
But it's important.
It's big stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you close immediately, or was it kind of... Because you've been
straight
friends...
Away.
Right.
I think we were... It was my partner who introduced us both. Mm-hmm. And then me and my partner separated.
Yeah.
And then it's like a cowboy film. And then we're like, wait a minute. How do we belong?
You said that.
And actually, that was the navigating of who we are as friends. Unfortunately, I'm friends with my ex. And
how soon into the relationship did you cut Lem's hair?
Straight away. As soon as I sat in front of you, Lem being Lem.
Yeah.
It was like, are those teeth real?
I'm just fascinated by
those teeth in your head. Are they real? But then you were like coming up, getting even more visible with your career. So you came to me because you'd spent years going to barbershops and not feeling listened to.
Oh my God, my barber.
Or heard.
Can I tell you about my barber?
Yeah. Do black men go through that as well?
Oh yeah, listen. My barber, he's in the middle of Moss Side. Because I grew up, I didn't meet a black person until I was 9. I didn't meet a person of colour. I didn't know a person of colour until I was 16. Wow. So then I marched to Moss Side in Manchester, the heart of Moss Side. I'm like, tell me who I am.
Yeah.
Whatever. I was very naive. And the hairdresser I used to go, right in the heart of Moss Side, he had bottle glasses on. And he was an old guy, he was a little bit bitter. Embittered, right? And he would come over to me and be like, right, so come. He was quite manipulative, so he'd be like, oh, this is great, And I'd be like, no, it's not. And I don't know if it's not.
I didn't know.
Yeah. You don't know what you don't know.
Hair's like the first thread to, well, for me, to identity.
The connection.
Yeah, and connection to where you come from. And God, I've had a hair journey. How's yours been?
Yeah. Well, I had dreadlocks.
And then I cut them when I was about 21 or so.
Well, that's a big deal, cutting locks.
It was. Do you know why I cut them? My locks were a crutch for me. They were really important, like a crutch on your leg. But when your leg mended, the crutch started to hurt my arm.
Oh, right.
And so that's why I cut them. And that metaphor stayed in mind.
Did they identify you? Like, I love my lock. Hair is such a powerful thing.
Agent. Yeah. It's so like, funny you mention this, because I went to see a play yesterday called The Legend of Them by Lorna G. There's a clip where she cuts her locks off and burns them for the very reason that you're saying, that she didn't want to be identified as that. And there's an amazing holistic hairdresser in America, and she says, to have the locks is freedom and to shave your hair is liberation.
Yeah. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
No, I said that because it's liberation to me.
Do you know what? I forget you had locks still.
I used to have locks.
We saw your picture.
My hair was just problems for me. It used to break all the time. Like when I was a teenager and everybody used to straighten the hair, I couldn't do it because it would just melt.
Yeah.
Couldn't dye it, couldn't do anything. And it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
When I finally went, do you know what? I'm just shaving it off. I was just like released from this cycle.
You know, it's a big deal that mum is, I think, a black shaved head woman on primetime BBC television. You know, it's a big deal. And the fact that women use hair for their beauty all the time, and my mum has made this whole role in the world for herself that represents beauty and style. Oh. And they never would have put those words near a black woman without hair in her 50s. 60. And now 60. And now 60, but you came with these moves in your 50s. But do you know what I mean? Like, that for me is such big move making. Because I think talking about invisibility as you get older as a woman, and I'm 39 now, and I see that happening to women around me, and I just love that my mum went the opposite direction and went, no, I'm going to be more visible than ever.
Yeah. Very proud of you. Do you think that the work you do helps people actualise themselves?
100%. I often don't see anyone unless they come in for a consultation first.
Right.
So I don't book appointments straight away because I need to get to know them and get an idea. And they're like, tell me your professional opinion of what I think you should do. And I'm like, I think we need to build a relationship, because what I might suggest you might not like based on, I don't know, some trauma or bad experience. So I need to get time to know you to help you work out what you might like or feel confident with.
This is really interesting because hair really is potent.
Yeah.
What happens on your head, it's a powerful statement.
I just suddenly realised it really can hold trauma. My weave brought me trauma because I didn't want it.
And it's clutching to your hair as well. Totally. It's tight.
Clutching to your hair. And also I felt
I did
not like not being able to feel my scalp. I have to say also, there are some girls who look beautiful with weave and they look after them and they look slick. I'm not like that.
Yeah.
So mine was somewhat lopsided because I just didn't want it. It was not welcome with my spirit.
Yeah.
And I had it for television when I was very young. And then I got into a cycle where my hair underneath was just breaking. And I would always say it's not good enough for camera. So I would just keep having these weaves. I think I had a weave for 11, 12 years.
Wow.
God.
And you hated it?
I hated it. And then I took it out one day and I realised my hair was longer than the weave. I had a weave in like a weird bob to here. My real hair got to here. I was like, this is ridiculous. And one day I just plaited it into 12.
Mm.
And I was like, I remember this. I remember her. And it was the most incredibly powerful thing. And I haven't looked bloody back since.
Yeah, but then you're being like your authentic self and you feel good and you feel liberated. My thing was, I relaxed it from the age of 15 till I was 17, and I'm a hairdresser. My first job was in a Japanese salon, which was fun, and I had natural hair, and I was like 12 till I was 16. And then my next job was for like Tony and Guy, and it's like very European led. So it's like the relaxed hair, the sharpest haircut and all of that stuff. Later on, when I got to about 30, I was like, why do I not feel good with the way that my hair grows out of my head as is, like with no manipulation whatsoever?
Yes.
Why can I not feel good about that? And I'd always worn my hair short. And I shaved it off and I hated it. And I didn't like the texture. Mm. And there was like this identity of beauty and masculinity mm-hmm. and femininity and all of this sort of stuff. And then I relaxed it again for a further 2 years and then I shaved it again. And I said, look, if you change nothing, nothing changes. Mm. So I had to like fake it for about 18 months or 2 years.
If you change nothing changes. Yeah. Just saying that for the listeners.
That is deep. Pull that out. Deep. Put that in my heart.
If you change nothing, nothing changes. Yeah. No, because people yeah. sit about going, yeah. why yeah. is it still the same? Yeah. It's like, because you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's yeah. so interesting. So you shaved it again 2 years later and, yeah. and your mind changed. You were like, I want to feel this. Yeah. I want this to feel good.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to live like it
and
is.
And I was fronting. Right. Like, imagine I'm your hairdresser and I look really confident and I catch my reflection. I'd be like, oh.
God, that's hard.
So it took about 18 months to 2 years. And then I was like, okay, this is it. So when I get clients that are going through their own transitional process, I'm really sensitive to that. I'm not yeah. like, it's just hair, you'll be fine.
You've been through yeah. it.
So, and I always share that story just so they like feel safe and feel okay to make the transition.
Because it does make you feel very vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like really, really vulnerable. Yeah. I remember going to this like a black hairdresser, and I'm from Suffolk, right. and they were speaking in that St. Lucian patois, which I can't understand. It's like French something mm-hmm. weird yeah. patois. And I knew they were talking about me. I just could feel it, and they were laughing and doing stuff, and I just sat and I felt so small. Yeah. I left there, like, with tears running down yeah. my face, and she'd mashed up my hair. It was, like, traumatising.
Yeah. What is your hairdresser? What is that? It. I know that you know those places, because sometimes you talk to me about them. I want to know
what
that is.
Sort of with that slightly unwelcoming energy.
It's like, what is that about?
It's not a nice experience. And in my experience, I've been a client, and I've worked in some spaces like that. I don't want to feel like that, and I don't want clients to feel like that. Over the time, I got mindful about language when you're exchanging with clients. So, yeah. for example, like language that would be used, like, oh, your hair's tough. Or your hair's nappy,
yeah.
or you should relax it. We're all unique. Like, all of it has its pros. Mm. So don't make anyone feel shit about themselves.
There was an advert on telly, and it was like, is your hair curly, tight, frizzy? Don't worry. And I went, like a black woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just say it. God, I'm not surprised I used to feel like crap, yeah. like through the 70s and through the early 80s, all of that time, yeah. all that
language,
that message
all
the time. Don't worry.
Yeah.
There's something you can do yeah. about it. It's like, why have we got to do something yeah. about it?
But I want to talk about the fact that you have a salon in Dalston, down yeah. the road. Oh, my gosh. So you can heal everyone. Oh, yeah, just in the
yeah,
end.
You're the Dalston healer. We like
it. I was like, wait a minute. What salon? Where?
Amazing to start your own business. As well, and because you worked at Aveda, worked at Tony and Guy.
Is that a shift for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I had good training. So I got good mentors, good people that have been in the game or freelancing for a long time. So they always share. And I think I did it on a small scale. So I did it with like renting a chair. My mentor gave me the best advice. When I worked for a big company and I was thinking about going freelance, she said, look, working for a big company is like being with your family. Then when you rent a chair in a space, it's like flat sharing. And then when you have your own salon, it's like your own flat. And you've been living independently since you were 17, so you know how to run a household.
Oh.
So you'll be fine.
Who's the boy? Yeah. Who's you are?
Boy, it's amazing. You know how to run a household.
Yeah, you've been doing it since you were 17.
That is absolutely what it is like, right?
This is exactly the same.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We'll be right back.
feel that you have autonomy and power in your career right now, Len?
Myself? Yeah, I'm walking down the avenue that I want to walk down, and I'm lucky enough to meet the people that inspire me, and I'm doing the work that I love and loving the work that I do. And actually, I'm truly appreciating it. And that means that I can give better service, man.
Yes. Right? Oh yes. Right? Service. Talk about the service. Talk about the service.
No, but this is really important, because the more service we give in our lives, the fuller our hearts are, and
you
the better...
You said this in the car.
I said it in the car.
It is our number one job. It's our number one job. It's not just about giving back. It's like, you know, what is your service to yourself and the world? Mm. What are you here to do and give?
There's a place on Chatsworth Road. It's called Too Sweet. It's a Caribbean place.
Please, come now. Please.
Right, spin around, please.
Please. I've been here 6 months, babe. Please. 26 years in Clapton. But there's a place on Chatsworth. It's called Too Sweet. They serve food from the Caribbean.
I don't know if you know about it, Andrea.
Tell me about Too Sweet. But yeah.
That is great. That's like being at home. I was talking to somebody who's like, wait, Lem, you're coming into my house. I'm not going into your
it's
house.
It's like, bitch, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, there's this place called Too Sweet. And
I've always been a bit intimidated about going in there because I'm not from here. And I went in the other day. So I go in. Blah-da-ba, woman in front of me, she's probably about 65, she's choosing the food, and so she says something to me, or I say something to her, and we start talking about the food, and she said, are you from the Caribbean? I said, no, and I just wanted to do it, and it's not something I do, but it was the moment, so I said, can I get you this? And I could see the woman behind the counter going, he's been chatting to this older lady. He's saying, yeah, exactly. And she just gave me a little look, and I was like, I'd like to get this for this person, if whatever it is. And I bought it for her, and she said, turned to me, she said, thank you. It was just like a continuation of the conversation. That's all. It was nothing. But she was just like, thank you.
It just felt like sharing a thing.
The Caribbean community has given me so much. When I went to Manchester, it was the Caribbean community. There was no African community there. Mm. It was them who introduced me to Bob Marley, who introduced me to reggae, and Ethiopia, which is where I am from, my parents. Anyway, so she said goodbye, and she went out, and I paid for it. It was like £5.50. She wasn't poor or asking for it.
No, but it's not the point.
Yeah. I got so much out of that.
Yeah. Doing something nice for another human being.
That is how you connect. Not just through giving, just through connecting.
Moments like that stay with me. Like when I have a good moment with my greengrocer guy, like it means something to me, because it means that we're still here.
It's actually vital, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Community is everything.
Yes,
everything.
It is. Yeah,
do you know, it's interesting you say that, because I've lived in Dalston for like 16 years, and then I've opened the studio for a year, and you know, London has the people think of it as like it's not friendly, there's no community, so on and so on, but since I've opened the studio, I must admit, like, everyone, there was a real sense of community. Like, everybody says hello.
They love you.
People invite me to their shop. There's all these people that say hello. Sometimes I can't even see them. I've been doing hair. And they say hello like they proper know me. I'm like, hi.
They're happy the place is there.
This is it.
So then I'm like, oh, well, people say it's cold or...
It's not.
I agree.
When we left Clapton, my fear was that we were going to move...
And it was going to
be
cold.
I've been there for 25 years or something. Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's a long time. Yeah. And I was really scared. My neighbours in Clapton, we lived around each other for the whole time. And then I moved up here and we got in. And the first day, everybody was like, welcome, welcome, welcome. And told me the whole run-ins. This one's nice.
Don't
turn left down there because that guy's an arsehole. I was like, oh my God, I love her. And I've got like proper community almost immediately around here. And it allayed my fears. Mm. So I think, you know, there are humans everywhere. Yeah. It just depends on how you respond. That's the thing about service. If you move through the world with care and thought and attention, and you keep your heart open, then I think that changes how you respond and find community. Yeah. That's why people are waving at you when you're doing hair and you're not even looking, because they can feel your vibes.
They do.
I mean, you've got to make that. You do like sort of radiate something really lovely. Yeah. I have to say, I opened the door and I went, oh, see, she's so pretty. I like it. Yeah. You just got like a shiny, nice thing going on, which is very good.
So, Lem, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about love and what that looks like in your life these
days. Wait, can we just play the music? Wait. It's... Barry White.
How does love look in both of your lives?
Love? Mm. Well, I am in a relationship with a woman called the Banana Bruiser.
Oh,
she's the Banana Bruiser. If you Google Banana Bruiser, you'll find out what she is.
But she's a real person, Sabrina.
Yeah. She's a real good. Person. Amazing.
She designs art on bananas by bruising the banana and stuff. But that's not what she does. That's just like something she does on the side. She works for Youth Business International, and she's in Australia at the moment.
She's fantastic. Lem, I didn't know you were in love. That's lovely.
Well, yeah, I guess I am. Yeah, but yeah. Sorry, Aaron.
Lem, we didn't know you were in love. Oh, yeah!
Yes!
I am! You better believe it.
The reason I say I guess I am, because I think I love life at the moment, and I think that's a really an important thing to me. And I think, you know, relationships can be difficult, and I'm much better on my own in the world in many ways, because I have control over everything then. A relationship means you've got to share the possibility of
not getting your own way.
Yeah, your outlook is shared.
Yeah, and you have to keep listening to somebody else.
Yeah, I don't like that bit.
No,
I mean,
it's hard.
The listening thing in general, I always think, I basically, I'm at ease when it's only me speaking all of the time. And otherwise, I feel sort of belittled when the woman speaks.
I wanted to ask them, said something about being on your own.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, do you think that's something about being brought up in care, that you've kind of just, that alone feeling is something that you carry throughout quite a lot of stuff?
Well, I think that being brought up in care is quite an intense experience. And I don't have children and I'm not married. So, you know, and I'm 56. Yeah, that's my age. This is just the way it's turned out for me. And it could have something to do with the fact that I was brought up in care. But actually, there's a lot of people who were brought up in care and they do have children and they do have marriage.
And they do like listening.
You know, and they do like listening.
No, but wait,
Joma, you know this, because you know this, look, like, actually, even though I was joking, but just that it's really being performative as well, and on stage, actually learning to listen. I'm joking, I like to listen.
In fact,
I get a buzz
off
listening.
To stop and hear,
But it's vital, right? It's vital to stop
and hear. And it makes you better at what
hear.
You do anyway, as a performer.
The best speakers are the best listeners. Well, the best speakers can be good listeners as well. It's important. It's imperative. So I'm joking about that, and I think that listening is an art which gives to you, to your spirit as well. This is why podcasts and this is magic.
I had a conversation with somebody yesterday about how hard it is for me to not be the best at the stuff. I've always tried to go to yoga. My body's not built for that kind of stuff. So I would try and go to these yoga classes, and it was always like very competitive. Again, mean girl stuff. Yeah. And I was always like, isn't this supposed to be really spiritual and nice? And I just walk away thinking, oh my God, I'm just a blob. Mm. And I feel like shit every single time. And then I finally, when I became menopausal, it's this yoga studio, but it's like everybody, every age, every shape.
Oh,
and I'm still quite shit at it, but I loved being in there.
That's great.
But the hardest part of it for me was allowing myself to be shit at yoga. Like, I not be up the front going, whoa, I got this. Yeah. See, interesting, I'm learning how to play tennis at the moment. I've been playing tennis for about 10 years, but I had no idea how to play. Just rallying and just wanting to learning from like ex-boyfriends and mates and just little bits. Mm-hmm. Finally decided to get a coach. Had two extraordinary lessons. I was like, oh my God, I'm killing this. And then the last lesson was hell. And I was so crap and I couldn't remember anything. And I got very tantrumy. Actually.
How did you?
Yeah, just a bit. I didn't want to, like, I don't want him to hate me, but I wasn't great. I was just like, I was like, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? What's wrong with this?
In that voice.
And he was just like, he was just like, your mind is all here. You've got to change your thoughts. You've come here and not been at a level that you thought you would be at today, and you've decided now that you aren't good, you're shit, you won't really continue, you don't want to be here, you've crashed, it's over.
Yeah.
You have to go through this bit with me.
Yeah, go through.
He was like, you've got to go through this bit with me. You don't know everything, there's
what a great
lot to
teacher.
Learn. I don't know, I just thought about that as a metaphor for life, like, because I think we get so quite like, yeah, smash that, we'll do that, and bang, bang. Sometimes you've got to be just bathing in the process.
And also for me, it's about slowing down. Yeah. Like, being able to slow my brain down enough to give myself time to not win or be trying to win, but actually just breathe and just be in the moment and have a calm, peaceful, not directional, goal-driven moment.
Yes.
Five seconds, woman. Do you know what I mean?
Actually, Lem told us in the piece of writing that you make sure you holiday. You make sure have time.
Oh, yes.
Actually, that work gets in the way of your holidays.
She read it just before she came. I had to show it to her, obviously. Yeah.
One of my friends, she's a real hippie. She's about 13 years younger than me. And she said work revolves around her life. Like, I loved that. I was like, wow. Oh, okay. And it was because of the way I was working before. Like, I recently been reading a book by Gabor Maté called The Myth of Normal. You mentioned earlier about being freelancers and doing things in your way and not doing it the way that everyone else does it. And so I was like, I want to have some downtime. I want to go away. Yeah. And so what I started doing since 2015 is every January I go away for a minimum of a month.
Nice.
So I just shut my books and go away. And other like hairdressers that have been in the business would be like, you're going to desecrate your clientele. You're going to this, that and the other. And I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to try. I'm going to give everyone a heads up. Everyone books before. Everyone books either side. And then I go away and I feel like I'm nicer. I feel like I'm doing them a service when I come back.
Because you're happy.
Yeah. I'm happy.
And ready.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they also get really inspired as well because I'm coming back, I'm sharing, I've got great energy.
Yeah. Can I just say we don't?
The winter.
We get pissed off.
No.
Because you're living the life.
Can I just say,
on our dollar.
I pay for that shit.
Can I just say, he'll call me up and he'll see the shutters shut at my studio and he'll call me, I've passed your studio, where are you? I'm like, I'm not there. He's like, why?
I don't want my hair doing
that. And I'm like, because I can.
The energy of I can't stop, I don't think is particularly useful for a successful life.
No, it's
because
not.
Because it keeps you in that chasing, fearful place.
Agreed.
I've got to stay out here hustling. I've got to stay out. If you go,
we were talking
I'm
about
good.
This, the hustle. The hustle. It's not a...
This year I was like, no more hustling. The hustle is over.
Thank you.
And that's why I can stop. Nothing is so fragile that it is going to fall away because I take some time
and
to myself.
And if it does, then it's probably not substantial enough to be in your life anyway.
I spent about a year suffering from anxiety and not knowing that's what it was. And it took me a while to realise it was the environment and the job that I was in. And I was like trying to compete with everyone else because everyone else is doing the same thing. So why can't I do it? And then I just took things into my own hands and I was just like, you know what, you need to just stop doing this because this doesn't fit you. And the minute I removed myself from there, my life's completely changed.
That comparing stuff is toxic. The devil's
work. Really,
it's poison, isn't it?
But also it's having the courage to go, it's okay, I don't have to do
that.
That's what they're doing. It's nothing to do with me. Why do I think I've got to do that? And I think also, you know, especially in our industry, in the broadcasting industry, you know, me and Makita talk about this a lot. You know, we're so conditioned to thinking there's only room for one. You know, so if somebody else who's, you know, another black woman over the age of 45 has got a gig, I'm like, how come she's got that gig? How come I haven't got another gig? Maybe I should have another gig. Because we feel like there's not enough space for all of us to live out our own dreams and do our own things.
Because that's what we've been
told.
Because
it's rare. Yeah. You feel like it's this rare moment that someone gets to do their thing. You know what I mean?
That stops you from having the confidence in yourself as well. It means you're always looking outside of yourself. And actually the key is when you're looking right in, right?
You know, I want to talk to you about Lem. Can I just say how much I love your book for a start?
Yes. Thank you.
I mean, honestly, pass it to me. So I opened them, the curtains and page, light flooded in and out the rage. I was just like, shit, Lem, damn. And there's another bit. We don't talk enough, said the sun to the moon. We have too little time and too much room. I just find it... So, like, the weight of the words, you use words with such economy and such effect.
Thank you.
That I think it's quite exceptional. I really, really do. And I'm not, like, blowing smoke up your ass.
Oh, I know you're not.
Genuinely, I'm kind of amazed at the brevity with which you work and how it lands.
Rhyming on the second and the fourth line. And I put them out every single morning.
and I make them up in the morning and put them out, and there are a lot of them that are crap, but but not the ones in the book, all right? You know what I mean?
Wait, you know, I have to read you this one because this reminded me.
It's true, by the way. I'm saying that's
no,
true.
No, I believe you.
I chose the best ones for the book, and that's where the magic is.
Yeah.
And also the possibility that you might not be good one morning.
Yeah.
And that's all right.
And that's okay. Right. Yes. That's every right. Morning doesn't have to be this fucking
no,
moment.
No, you don't have to be the literary genius.
I have to read this one to you because it reminded Makita when she was little and we lived on Power Square. There was a church right there on Power Square.
Yeah, I know the one.
And you know, with the cross outside and Jesus yes. on the cross. And Makita one day, she said to me, she was about six, and she went, why won't they let him get down? And I said, who?
That's a great line.
Who?
What's he doing up there?
And she said, the man. Why won't they let him get down? Right. And I went, oh, babe. And I felt so bad for her.
But it's out of the mouths of babes.
Yes,
I mean, that question,
why won't they
actually,
let him
yes.
get I, down? It's so deep.
But I remember feeling.
You remember it?
Definitely feeling.
And
why
this reminded me.
Man.
I have walked in wilderness, said night, with worry, pain and righteous ire. Put down the cross, said light. We need the wood for a fire.
Oh!
Do you know who told me that? Do you know who told me that? Put down the cross, we need the wood for a fire. Yeah. Dana Bryant.
New Eureka Soul.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Is that
her.
I Am the Black Gold of the Sun? Is it that one?
No.
I don't think it is.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
That poem.
Thank you. Do you know what's great is going out with this? I'm touring. I was on stage last night. Mm. To go out with a book that's called Let the Light Pour In, rather than a book called My Name Is Why, which is all about my care, my upbringing. It's like, I was brought up in care and I had a terrible time, which is true, but to go out with a book that's called Let the Light
Pour In
to a full audience like there was last night, saying I got them to sing one of the poems, and it's a bit of a joy at the moment.
I said earlier, when I think of Len, I think of sunshine. Oh, you are a very sunshiny human being, then.
Thank you.
And I think that is a really precious commodity.
I want this everywhere I go. Like when I get on the bus, there's a problem with getting on buses and Ubers is they don't say this to you. They say, where are you
Uber.
Going? And your oyster's not working.
What's your score? You're quite chatty, aren't you? I bet you're like 3.5.
Do you know what? I am really.
I went tops, right? Tops, 3.5, 3.6.
Do you know what I do? I chat right to the driver and I tip as well. Yeah. But not all the time, just when the mood takes me, you know. Ooh. I've always got taxis, so, and you have as well, yeah. I think. So
when I was a kid and we had no money, my mum even then had a taxi account, even because she, I think, got a job and like had a little bit of money. She's like, right, yeah. She's got a taxi account. She's addicted to taxis. She always has been. And then when we moved here, she was, you were like 25. Right.
I'm tired. Yeah. Just tired.
I've always got taxis as well.
We moved here, Lem and Serena, and the Central line is at the other end of the road. And my mum was like, oh, the tube. Okay, I'm going to get the tube. And she was like an excited Victorian. She was like, this is incredible. Have you been on this thing? Have you been on this thing? She's like, I'm in town, 20 minutes. I was like, yeah, that's the Central line, Mum. And then she went on in rush hour. She was like, oh, my fucking God.
Never again, never again.
I was like, yeah, that's the tube.
There was a delay. There were all these sweaty people.
Do you know what? I was like, why are you touching me?
I hated public transport and I worked in Central London for over 20 years. And then the same mentor, she said, Sabrina, you know you do your own hours. You just don't travel in rush hour.
So I stopped getting black cabs because as a black man, I couldn't get black cabs at 18 years of age.
We didn't have any money, but for some reason we were in town trying to get a black cab. And I remember thinking, I'm a kid, and why won't these cabs stop for my mum and me?
Or they would pull in and then they'd see the white person further up and then pull back out and drive off.
And do you know what? What's his name wrote a song about it? Can I get a taxi?
Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny Kravitz got a track called Can I Get a Taxi? There's somebody else, like loads of black artists.
Even Lenny can't get a cab.
Even Lenny can't, but he's got locks and he's in town.
Sabrina, are you Caribbean?
Mum is from Jamaica and my dad is from St. Lucia.
Oh, you're St. Lucia.
Well, I've gone to Jamaica loads, but I've not been to St. Lucia, which I get told off by all
beautiful.
My St. Lucian family and friends.
Some great
like,
writers
you sell out,
from
you sold us out for Jamaica.
I mean, they
Derek
got a point.
Derek Walcott. Nobel Prize winning writer.
Amazing.
It's from St. Lucia.
Wow, yeah. Awesome.
Being born with the English language as well, I think as a diaspora, you learn to command the English language more. There are great writers all over the Caribbean, from Guyana, St. Lucia, Jamaica.
The language, the meat and bones of the language.
And that, you imagine that's what they brought when they came here as well? Yeah. You know, a love of the language. And imagine arriving with the language that you love in the birth country of it and then being rejected by the country.
You know what, Lem, and Sabrina, I just did this evening with Lenny Henry at the BFI for his new Three Little Birds series, created and written by him. And it's just beautiful. And that was something they really do well, because it's something I didn't even, to my shame, didn't even really think about until we did our Caribbean show, the detail of the psychological trauma and head fuck.
That was beautiful in your documentary, by the way. You two realising and connecting with your past. It's almost like the spirits of the past were waiting for you. And when you were at the path, you were at some house, and when you turned around as well at some point and you went to have your moment with yourself, I thought the spirits are alive in there.
It felt like that when we were making it, you know when you sometimes go somewhere and you're like, okay, I think something quite big is happening. Yeah, we're doing something that we're meant to be doing.
You were stirring it up as well. Yeah.
We just got a trailer.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why he's a best-selling author, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's beautiful. Thank you so much for coming, though, today.
Oh, my God, it's been so lovely.
Filling us up.
Let the light pour in.
Come on, thank you.
Let the light pour in. All day, every day, right?
Thank you for having us.
All day, every day.
Thank you, Sabrina.
I told you he was like sunshine, right?
I didn't know he was such a laugh, though.
He's hilarious. It's funny, isn't it? Because I think when people think poet, they think of somebody very serious, kind of older. I loved Sabrina Kidd. She was amazing.
Oh, my God, I'm going to Tess Allen. I knew
you were going to end up going to Tess.
Because the thing is, you know, we don't talk about hair because, I think it's so a frustrating conversation for you because I was so unhappy with my hair for so long. But to talk to Sabrina, she gets it.
It's not true that I don't like talking about hair. I just get sometimes bored when we talk about hair.
That's not acceptable in hair chat. Did Sabrina look bored? No. She had more to say and more to give.
Sabrina did not look bored.
So I'll be going to Sabrina's.
My heart, my belly, and my mind are all full. And gently.
No, Mickey, you're going to break my glass.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.